I know your SHR says conversion is our subject for the week. When we think about conversion, we think about being converted. Probably the most obvious things around us are some of the measurements. You know, we convert inches to feet, or we convert teaspoons to cups, or we can convert those kinds of things. Sometimes there's been a big push at various times to change from our regular measurements of pounds and miles and things like that, to change over to what they call the metric system, with kilometers and grams and kilograms and all this, instead of ounces and pounds and things. And so sometimes there's a conversion that needs to be made there to, well, how many pounds are there in a kilogram, and all these kind of things. And what we're really seeing when we talk about conversion, we're just saying that something is changed from one thing to another. We change from 48 inches to 4 feet. It's changed from inches to feet. Now, in that case, the distance itself is still the same. We've only changed the measuring unit that we're using. In the case of us converting spiritually, it's not that we've just changed a measurement or changed what we call something and recategorized it. In true conversion, we really are changed. We really are converted from one thing to another. This is the kind of thing that in the physical world really doesn't happen. No one thing is ever really converted into another, hardly. Unless, of course, you think about something like a fire, where you take a piece of wood or charcoal or something of that nature, gas of some kind, and you light it on fire. And that thing then is transformed. It's converted. It's not gas or wood or charcoal anymore. It burns up. And eventually you're left with just the ashes, or in the case of gas, just maybe a few leftover fumes, and you have then the heat or the energy that's been released, and you can cook over that, or you can use that to heat a house, or various different things. And that's where a real conversion has taken place. That matter, that material, has been converted into energy. It's become a different thing. That's more like what happens to us. We are actually to be converted. We are to become a new creature, something different. We're no longer just a physical human being. We become a spiritual human being, alive to God, whereas we were spiritually dead before. We want to talk about one of the most misunderstood phrases in regards to conversion in the Bible: calling on the name of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 18, Paul writes the following: "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily the sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." So I want to kind of look at a few of the key things in here and compare it with some other passages. I believe, and it's been stated oftentimes before, that the Bible is its own best commentary. It's its own best interpreter. If we're confused about a passage, then the thing to do is to go elsewhere in the Bible to see if another writer in the Scriptures clarifies that thing that we don't understand. Here's a case where he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, what does he mean by that? We know that he's talking about conversion, he's talking about salvation throughout this passage. But what does that phrase mean, to call upon the name of the Lord? Does that mean that everyone who calls out Jesus is going to be saved? Well, a lot of people call out Jesus when they aren't even talking about Him. They're just throwing His name around in vain. Or they call out God when they're not talking about Him. Does it just mean that anyone who calls out is going to be saved? Now, we're going to look at a few things to help us understand this better. A fellow by the name of Billy Sunday once said, "Conversion is a complete surrender to Jesus. It's a willingness to do what He wants you to do." That's a good definition that's going to help us as we look at some of these things. One fellow, an actor oddly enough, but one who actually played the role of Jesus in the Passion movie, it affected him. His life changed as a result of playing that role. Not many roles that actors play change their lives much. But he said, "Conversion is a daily thing." Now, sometimes we think about our conversion as a one-time event back when, well, I was converted back then. But we're going to notice that it's not just a one-time event. Let's study about calling on the name of the Lord. And first, let's study what calling on the Lord is not. It's not hearing the gospel. In Romans 10:14, he says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" Now, hearing is a prerequisite. If you ever took classes where you had that prerequisite, you had to have one class before the other. You couldn't take this class unless you'd had another one. That's what a prerequisite is, and hearing is a prerequisite to calling on the name of the Lord. It comes first. You can't call on the name of the Lord if you've never heard of Him, is what Paul says here in verse 14. So that has to come first. We've got to hear first. Now, he later on says, they did hear. In verse 18, he says, "Have they not heard?" He says, "Yes, the sound went into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." So he said, they've heard. The sound is out there. The word is out there. But that's not the same. Hearing about the Lord, hearing the gospel, is not the same as calling on the name of the Lord. It's not believing in the gospel. There in verse 14 also, he says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" Now again, the believing comes first. You have to believe before you can call on Him. But the calling is not just believing, like some would say. It's certainly not just verbally calling Jesus Lord. Now, we know that Jesus is our Lord. We should acknowledge that. We often call that confession. Here in Romans 10, he says, "For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The word "unto" means leading toward salvation. So again, this is something that leads to our salvation, but it's not the end in and of itself. But Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone that says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father which is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, and in Your name have cast out devils, and in Your name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity.'" So it's not even, not just verbally calling Jesus Lord, but not even calling Jesus Lord and doing good deeds. These people were doing good deeds. But they weren't calling on the name of the Lord because they weren't saved. What was the thing they were lacking that kept them from being saved? We see it there. Jesus said, "He that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." That's what they were lacking. So there's an indication there that that is the thing that's equivalent to calling on the name of the Lord. Not just saying, "Lord, Lord," but doing the will of the Father in heaven. It's not praying to the Lord. In Acts 9, in verse 11, the Lord said to Ananias, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul." You remember when Saul saw that blinded light? And he, "What shall I do?" And the Lord told him to go and wait. And it had been told him what he should do. And he went there and he waited. And it says here, "One called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." He's praying. "For 3 days, Saul fasted and prayed. But still, Ananias had to come and tell him what to do to be saved." So calling on the name of the Lord, that is that thing which saves us, Romans 10 tells us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not praying. Because if it was, Saul would have already been saved when he was praying. But he had not yet called on the name of the Lord. It's not asking the Lord into your heart. That phrase, that terminology is not used anywhere in the Scriptures. That's made up of whole cloth by man. The idea of asking the Lord into your heart. It's not there. It's not accepting Jesus as your Savior. That phrase, again, is one that's thrown around a lot in the religious world, but is never found in Scripture. That's never described. And so that's not what we're talking about when we talk about calling on the name of the Lord. But let's study now what calling on the name of the Lord involves. Calling on the Lord involves several things. One is doing the things the Lord says. We saw that idea in Matthew 7. We see it also in Luke 6 in verses 46 through 49. Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" They were calling on the name of the Lord. No, they weren't. They were calling Jesus Lord, but they weren't calling on the name of the Lord in the way that Paul means it in Romans, because it did not save them. Verse 47, he goes on, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like the man that built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not," they may still be calling Jesus Lord, but they're not doing, "is like a man that without a foundation built a house on the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." So Jesus tells us, if we're going to call Him Lord, Lord, then we have to follow that up with an action of doing what He says. And that's part of calling on the Lord, of truly calling on Him. Not just saying we're calling on Him, but actually doing it. We also see that it involves repentance and baptism. Acts 2:21, the prophecy from Joel was made, and Peter repeats it here in Acts 2. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In Acts 2:37 and 38, we see the fulfillment of this passage. We see it coming to fruition. Peter said, this is what's going on right here, right now, today. And so what happened then? In Acts 2:37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." They had heard that they were guilty of crucifying Jesus. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what's Peter going to tell them? He's going to tell them how to do what Joel had prophesied would be done back in verse 21 and call on the name of the Lord. So what did he say? He said, Oh, men and brethren, just stand up and call out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Is that what he said? That's not what my Bible says he said. In my Bible it says, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here we see, he had said, this is the time, this is what Joel prophesied about, and this is the time it's come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they said, well, what should we do? And he didn't say, say this prayer with me. He didn't say, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He didn't say, invite Jesus into your heart. He said, repent and be baptized. We also see that calling on the name of the Lord involves being a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So he's writing to the Corinthians here. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now notice this next phrase. So he's saying to the Christians in Corinth, we're supposed to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we're going to call on the name of the Lord, we're going to be also called to be saints. These Corinthians were called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord. That indicates the Corinthians had also been part of that group that called in the name of the Lord. And they were to be saints together. And so we are today. We're to be saints along with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord. Then we notice that calling on the name of the Lord involves following righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. 2 Timothy 2 and verses 21 and 22. Paul tells Timothy, If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, if we're going to call on the Lord, first of all, we're going to have to do it out of a pure heart. And if we're going to call on the Lord, we're going to have to follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Someone who is constantly causing strife and trouble and is full of hatred and doubt and immorality and unrighteousness cannot be calling on the name of the Lord. They can holler, Well, Jesus is my Lord, and they can have the Lord is my shepherd read at their funeral, but they weren't calling on the name of the Lord. No, if we're going to call on the name of the Lord, we're going to have to be like these individuals and like Timothy was told to be. Call on Him out of a pure heart and follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. We also notice in Romans 10 and verse 16 that calling on the name of the Lord is synonymous with obeying the gospel. He talks about hearing, he talks about believing, and he talks about calling on the name of the Lord up there in verses 9 through 14. He says, How shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Follow those. Hear, believe, call on the name of the Lord. Those three things. Now let's look down a little further. He says, let's follow it backwards from verse 18. Have they not heard? Heard? Then back in verse 17, so then faith, that's believing. Verse 16 he says, Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Faith comes by hearing. So in verse 18, if you go backwards, you've got the hearing. Verse 16 and 17, you've got the believing. And what does he say at the beginning of verse 16? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Hear, believe, call on the name of the Lord. Hear, believe, obey the gospel. There's a parallel here in the earlier part of the chapter and the later part here. Two are exactly the same. Hear, hear. Believe, believe. Call on the name of the Lord. Obey the gospel. So it's synonymous with obeying the gospel. Then we want to notice that it is a step that is involved with and is equivalent to being baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Remember we talked about Saul a little while ago? Saul did some amazing things. As he was on that road to go persecute Christians, the Lord appeared to him. Jesus Christ Himself appeared to him on that road. Blinded him. He saw this bright light, he fell off, he was blinded, he couldn't see anything. But he had a conversation with the Lord. It's amazing. He asked Him, what do you want me to do? And the Lord told him, go into the city and such a street and wait there, it'll be told you what to do. He obeyed that. He did that. But he wasn't saved by doing that. He wasn't saved by that religious experience on the road. You know, a lot of people talk about religion. Oh, I saw a light and this, that, and this voice from heaven spoke to me. Yeah, that happened to Saul too. It didn't save him. I doubt that that actually happened to most of the people claiming it today, but it did happen to him, and when it happened to him, it didn't save him. So what makes you think that would save you today? It didn't save people back then. God hasn't changed His rules for salvation. So, what else about? We saw Paul was praying and fasting, we saw earlier. That didn't save him. He even saw a miraculous vision of Ananias coming to heal him. But that didn't save him either. People go, well, I saw this vision. Well, okay. I don't know what you ate for supper last night, but you might not want to eat that again before bed if you're seeing visions like that. You know, but he saw that vision. That wasn't something he ate because he was fasting. But you know, but he saw a vision. It didn't save him. Ananias came and healed him of his blindness. Didn't save him. But in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias says to him, now see, none of those things were calling on the name of the Lord that saves. All of those things he did. All those things that happened to him. All that religious experience that he had, and all that fasting and praying, all these things. But in Acts 22:16, Ananias says to him, and now, why tarriest thou? In other words, what are you waiting for? Arise. Get up. Get up. And be baptized and wash away your sins. Notice this next phrase. Calling on the name of the Lord. How was he supposed to call on the name of the Lord? By getting up and being baptized. Now, if we look at the gospel plan of salvation in its entirety of hearing the Word, we saw that in Romans. Believing the Word, we saw that in Romans. Repenting, we saw that in Acts 2. Confessing, we saw that in Romans 10. And then here we have being baptized. That's the completion. That's the final step. And at that point, he said, when you've completed that, then you've called on the name of the Lord. That's when you're calling on the name of the Lord. by being obedient. Now certainly, our calling on the name of the Lord is not to stop after that. Because we saw that calling on the name of the Lord involves being a saint and following after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Right? That continues on throughout our life. We continue to call on the name of the Lord. As those that Paul told Timothy about and those that Paul told the Corinthians about, with all who call on the name of the Lord. It was not who called past tense one time when they were converted they did it, but they are doing it. It's a process. We call on the name of the Lord every day that we live as a Christian should. But it started. The first time we called on the name of the Lord was when we obeyed the gospel. By hearing, believing, repenting our sins, confessing Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism. It's that final step. We saw that in Romans 8. It was compared to the obeying the gospel. And what is the gospel? Paul tells us that. Paul tells us that I delivered unto you the gospel. Well, what was it, Paul? Well, here's what it is. That Jesus Christ died, was buried according to the Scriptures, and on the third day He rose again. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the good news. But we say, well, how on earth could we obey those facts? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay, I believe it. How do I obey it? And yet several times, we saw in Romans 10, but also in Thessalonians, it said that He will come again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we obey a set of facts? It's quite simple. We imitate them. We recreate them, but not literally. We're not literally to die on a cross and be buried in a tomb and 3 days later rise up. But throughout the Scriptures we're taught that we are to die to sin. That's what repentance is all about. Die to sin. And then we're to be buried, not in a grave, but in baptism. As many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We've been buried with Him by baptism into His death, Romans 6 tells us. So we've been baptized into His death. We've been buried with Him. There's no way to be buried with Him any other way other than through baptism. Now, the good news is God didn't say we had to stay down there 3 days. We'd all be in drowned, wouldn't we? I don't think we could hold our breath that long under the water. But we do, just as He died and was buried and rose again, we die to our sin, we're buried in the water, and we rise again, a new creature, alive to God now. And when we've done that, we've obeyed the gospel. But nobody's going to obey the gospel if they don't first hear it, and if they don't believe it. They're not going to obey it. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you called on the name of the Lord in the past? If not, you might want to start today, just as Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We need to do that if we haven't done that. If we have done that, though, then the question remains, are you continuing to call on the Lord by the way you live your life? Are you living as a saint? Are you living full of righteousness, following righteousness and faith and love and peace? Are you doing that? If not, then you can't truly say you're calling on the name of the Lord, and you need to get back to calling on Him. Maybe you were, and then you just kind of got sidetracked and quit. You need to get back to it. If you're here this morning and you have not done the things that you should, you need to respond to His invitation while we have this opportunity. We don't know how many more opportunities we may have. If you need to respond to God's invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.